KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. I am Joe, and with me is...
Jay. Wait, no, that's how it normally goes. I'm Jason.
That's right. Your name does begin with A.
Yes, Jason.
There we go. Yes, that's right. The two of us, the dynamic duo, we're going to rock your geek world this week. So stay tuned. Get locked in. Settle down. Relaxed. However, if you're driving, pay attention to the road. But, you know, have us in the background to ease your mind through the...
Soothe you right down.
That's right. If you're unfamiliar with our show, we are a geek-centric talk show here on KSU Santa Clara. We talk about stuff like, I would normally point to Jay and he would shout space because that's what he talks about generally. And I usually throw in an animal story here and there when I can. And Jason likes to talk about, you know...
The tech, the random things that make our lives so much better and sometimes worse.
It's true. Now, before you hit that dial, you're like, I don't want to hear any of that stuff. We also talk about entertainment stuff like video games, comic books, movies, that sort of thing. So, you know, if now you want to change the dial, hey, that's entirely up to you, you know. But I think if you stick around with us, I think you're going to have a good time.
We don't recommend that course of action.
We don't recommend. No, we do not.
No.
We recommend you listen. So, speaking of listening, what have you been up to, Jason, since last we spoke?
It's funny. Like, I have barely played any video games lately. I feel like I'm just in watching mode for some reason.
Yeah, I haven't been super into.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But that's brought up some interesting stuff. Like the new Rogue One trailer came out, and I was pretty excited about that since I was not expecting it at all. And there was a bunch of stuff in it that I wasn't expecting at all. So yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. Like, it sounds like most people were. And I'm really looking forward to it now.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking forward to it at all before. I didn't put it at the top of my list of most look forward to things in the coming year.
No, you didn't. It was number two, I think, if memory serves. So technically, you didn't put it at
that's
the top.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's just number two.
That's an example of a good trailer.
Oh, yeah. We haven't had a lot of those lately.
No, we haven't.
Yeah.
Or at least ones that don't, like, give away everything. Like that, you get a taste. Okay. You get, like, an idea of what the basic premise of the story is going to be about.
Right.
And then, you know, just, like, flashes of some certain characters that will probably be relevant to the story.
Yeah.
But nothing like, here's all the action scenes that are really right. cool, and oh.
Here's exactly why every person is here.
Yeah.
I was really interested to see what, like, a samurai looks like in Star Wars-y times. And I was completely caught off guard by Forrest Whitaker. I didn't know he was in it at all.
Yeah. And, it's like, whoa, Ghost Dog.
Right, yeah. And especially since he's in, like, some sort of big menacing armor. I mean, he's a pretty big guy to begin with, but you put him in armor, and he's, like, at least twice as menacing.
Yeah.
Maybe. 1.75 times as menacing.
It definitely goes up. The menacing goes up.
But yeah, he is pretty perfect for reading the dialogue that or the voiceover for the entire thing too.
Yeah.
And one thing that as soon as it started, I was like, oh crap, am I going to be completely annoyed by this? Is the screechy, like, siren noises? Because I could tell that it was going to go on and on. And it's funny, like, after the third one, I actually was kind of into it.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't know I liked screeching. I found something out about myself.
Yeah, they matched it well with the action and the beats and stuff that were going on.
Yeah.
So, especially like his last words, like, tie in with the, you know, with the theme and stuff like that. Just again, an example of a good trailer. Like,
yeah,
they use sound as well as images too.
And all of the imagery is just spot on. They completely nailed the original Star Wars aesthetic while still making it look like it was a current movie.
Yeah.
It's like they updated the quality of the film without updating any of the costumes or anything like that.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and then you still saw some new sort of things, like, so there's some different types of troopers.
Yeah. A lot of people have had a ton of fun dissecting that, and I've been kind of on the edge. It's like I sort of want to see how it all ends up, all dissected out. But yeah, like, you know, some people have mentioned seeing stormtroopers and clone troopers kind of mixed in, and I thought that was a cool touch, even though I didn't manage to catch it myself. Even though I've watched the trailer maybe 4 times, I think. But I don't doubt it's there, and to me that it just enriches the universe a little bit more. To me, the big thing that I'm geeking out about is the droid that's with the main character in a couple of the scenes. Is it a stripped down, like, super battle droid?
Yeah,
because it looks really like one, and I sort of hope it is.
Yeah. I noticed that too. I was like, there's this droid that it's in a few of the shots, but
right,
it's with them.
Yeah.
You know, so and not like there's that scene of them running and it's following them, so it's like you get the idea of, well, it's not like chasing them. It
right.
seems like, you know, it's a part of
it.
Of
seems to be there for a reason. Like. So yeah, I'm seriously hoping. I can't wait to find out what the personality of another droid is gonna be like, since they did such a good job with BB-8 and droids in general have been kind of the hallmark and one of the shining points of Star Wars.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
Yeah, and that will be a cool thing of if they do embrace sort of that, like, the last sort of remnants of the clone kind of era.
Right.
You know, and this New Hope, like, you get a little bit of that. It'll kind of add that feel of, like, where New Hope felt very, like, all this stuff is very used, like, you know, it's nothing shiny and new and stuff like that. So hopefully they do a really cool job of taking, like, from the prequels, the shiny and new, and giving it that New Hope spin on it, you know?
I hope, like, so, too.
That would be really cool.
It would be a nice little signature, especially on that movie. Especially since, I was kind of sad to see it, since as many problems as the movies 1 through 3 had, there was some really good design work
in those
movies. And to have 7 just completely toss out all of that, it was a little bit sad. I was at least hoping to see, like, some sort of stripped down old version of a spacecraft or some piece of machinery from that era in that movie in 7 someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And never saw, like, a single scrap as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm hoping that makes it in to this one, especially since it's perfect time frame for it.
Yeah. Maybe they'll do more of that kind of stuff with these Star Wars stories, since so far they sound like they're taking more, like, if rumors are true about the next one being the Han Solo one, that would definitely be even earlier than A New Hope, at least from rumors, you know, him being younger. So there'd be a good chance that there'd maybe be even some more of that stuff. So
I know it's still firmly, like you mentioned, in rumor stage, but what did you think? It came out that they weren't going to cast somebody to look like him, that they were looking at making him a CG character. So that it would be a CG'd young version.
Oh, okay. Like, but still cast an actor to...
to like, do mocap, basically.
Oh, okay. Huh. Did they say, like, what would they do for the voice? Like, would they get
I'm not sure. I didn't get that far in the articles. But they basically pointed out that you can do a really well-rendered face of somebody at this point, and it ends up pretty seamless. I mean, if you're really decent at it, you can pick stuff out pretty easily.
Uh-huh.
But at this point, it's become pretty normal for them to add, instead of doing practical effects for aging effects, about half of the time they just do CG for aging effects.
Yeah.
So going the opposite direction doesn't seem that difficult. It would seem like it would actually be easier, since adding age seems way more difficult than it is to subtract.
Yeah. Yeah, if you look at like Benjamin Button example, when they did Brad Pitt when he was like young,
yeah, starts going the opposite. The opposite direction. When he starts aging, quote unquote.
Yeah, youngifying or
right.
Yeah, I guess what'll be interesting is the movies that I can think of where they've kind of done stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the entire film that, like, the character is,
right,
you know, that, or they're not, like, the main character. So it's, like, it's kind of parts. So you're like, okay, this is, even when ones where, say, like, Tron Legacy, where it was kind of in its, I didn't really think it was that great, like, of a job.
It was pretty decent, but it wasn't quite there yet.
I was like, okay, that is clearly a CG character, like, you know, or... You know what I mean? It's
multiple layers on that one.
It'll be interesting unless they don't make the Han Solo movie like Han Solo, you know, is the focus, like an entire film where I would imagine he's going to be, you know, doing lots of stuff from dramatic moments to action to things like that. Where are they going to be able to, you know, how well will they be able to pull it off for an entire film?
Uh-huh.
And will they do it where at that point, while you're watching it, you just kind of, your eye, quote unquote, gets used to it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So you just sort of fall into it where.
It'll be interesting to see if they try it or manage to do it or not. One of the things that really caught my eye, and this will sound like it's completely off topic, but I promise it is related. I ended up starting to watch Iron Fist 2, just because I was a fan of the previous RZA Kung Fu action movie. Super heavy on style, and it has elements of kind of Samurai Champloo in it, obviously, because you have a rapper as the lead. I just enjoyed all of the cheesiness in it. So I try and watch 2, and I get like 20 minutes into it. And I had to stop there because the quality of the footage was pretty decent. It could have been better as far as how they picked their shots and so on.
Mm.
But lighting is what start to finish makes that first movie to me, now that I'm thinking about it, because it ends up distracting from every single thing that isn't quite perfect in it. Like any little bit of costuming that isn't right. You throw a nice shadow with some moody lights on it, and it looks cool. And so I'd assume that they used as many of the props as they could from the original movie. Who knows for sure? But, yeah, the stuff did not hold up in broad daylight with a HD camera. So, yeah, it just goes to show that if you pick your lighting really well, even in like a CG setting, mm-hmm. it ends up really making it so it sells it without you even thinking about it too.
No.
Because like in the Iron Fist thing, they show a close up of like the Iron Fist. And I thought in the previous movie they looked really cool, but this time they were like brown foam.
Oh.
And it was like, it was so weird. It's like, it's amazing what some shadows will do to a scene.
Yeah. And it's funny, it's like you sort of mentioned foam, because there's a lot of cool like cosplayers
that
take foam and make it actually look like, whoa, that really looks like metal.
Yeah, they do amazing things. And I don't know, maybe they had to rebuild the props and they went too far on the side of making it look like rusty and old instead of freshly forged. But I don't know. It didn't have anywhere near the awe and wonder the first movie had. I'm still going to give it another shot, but...
Oh, try and finish it?
I'm going to try and finish it. That's how much I respect that first movie.
Okay. Well, here's something that's pretty easy to respect.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. So
what about you?
Well, you mentioned Iron Fist 2. First mentioned the Iron Fist, I'm like, wait, the Marvel? Like, started yet. Like, what, 2?
I'm already on the second season of that.
And I was like, wait, is there like an animated thing that started or something? But speaking of movies, I finally had a chance to catch Spectre.
Oh, okay. I keep seeing that on the list of stuff, and I was like, do I want to rent it? Do I want to buy it? I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it at all, because I don't know what happened. Like, there was a black hole of information when that came out.
Yeah.
I have no idea why.
It seemed like it kind of just came and went, like...
So, okay, now you are the solution to the black hole of information.
Okay, well, all right. It's interesting that, like, okay, if you look at, like, Daniel Craig's history of playing James Bond, right?
Okay.
The first one...
Sort of jumps around a little bit.
Yeah, the Casino Royale, like, you know, it was kind of a reboot, restart, fresh take on the Bond character and kind of the series. The way they were going, you know... Very influenced by, I think, the Bourne series and that sort of thing. They're trying to kind of shoot for more of the realism, less of the, Bond sort of trope and cheese, you know, that Bond films are kind of known for, you know, like they wanted to make it a little more modern, I would say, you know, and it ended up, it's my favorite Bond film. And that's not saying a whole lot because, like, I wasn't one who really grew up with Bond.
Yeah.
So, but I like.
Yeah, we should find the episode where we talked at length about that too.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to sell it, pimp it to everybody.
We've gone through the various Bond ones and stuff like that, I liked the direction they were going with the character and like just the thought, you know, the movie was exciting, fun, and everything like that.
And it was more modern in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It has a better sensibility for current audiences.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then there was Quantum of Solace. And, you know, a lot of people, it's hard to go up with, like, Casino Royale, how good that one is. Like, the follow-up, like, it would be so hard to make it as good or even better. And so, you know, a lot of people didn't care for it that much. I thought it was still good. It's still enjoyable. Like, not as good as Casino Royale, but...
Yeah, I'd agree.
Then Skyfall came out, and I did not like that one at all. And now we have Spectre.
Okay.
And it's interesting. It goes... what I mean by the sort of the Daniel Craig cycle of Bond films is... We have Casino Royale, where it's this fresh, like, sort of reboot, new take. And now we have Spectre, which is basically... everything that Casino Royale like wanted to get away from, like it has all the James Bond tropes. It is a James Bond movie. Like if you never watched like any other Daniel Craig Bond films, and you just watch like Connery and Roger Moore and all those, and then and Pierce Brosnan, and then watched like Spectre, it would fall right in with those.
Okay,
it's got all the tropes.
Okay,
all like the villains.
I can see
the,
that being like
the
a
girls,
heavy selling
like,
point for a lot of people, but
that's that's the thing. If that is the Bond you like, you'll probably enjoy this movie.
Okay.
If that's not the Bond you like and you prefer more Casino Royale, this will probably be very boring for you.
Okay.
That's kind of what it was for me because, yeah, it was basically everything that like they were trying to kind of at least seemed like in Casino Royale getting away from. Now it's sort of become. Like,
so
it's.
So what about visuals at the very least? Like the last one had at least spots that were like staggeringly beautiful to me. So does this one have anything that matches up to that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's like, I wouldn't say it's a bad movie. Like it's well made and everything like that. It's just, it bored me because I'll say something else as well. The last Mission Impossible movie, I can't remember if was that one Ghost Protocol or was that the one I'm trying to remember the one
I can't remember the name of it either.
Okay, well I really enjoyed we were kind of
like,
flipped.
Was it like Secret Nation or something like that?
Rogue Nation.
Okay. Yes.
Maybe Ghost Protocol is the one. Okay.
That's the one before with the gloves.
Yes. So
in Dubai.
I think we were flopped with that one. Like that one to me, like again, sort of going back to Mission Impossible movies. I was never like a huge fan of, like the first one was, it was fine. Like the second one was a John Woo movie. It was like totally crazy, insane.
Yeah.
And then the third one was kind of getting a little more like interesting. Like I think I liked that one more.
Gets on its feet again a little bit more.
And then to me, like Ghost Protocol was like, okay, that was like, had everything that I sort of needed and that I enjoyed.
Okay.
And then Rogue Nation, I think was almost in a sense kind of like this. I would say it's a better film than Spectre.
Okay.
But it's almost sort of along the same lines. And I think I've come to realize I don't really have an interest for these kinds of movies anymore.
Okay.
Because
that's fair.
Because that and Spectre, like, they were fine films. I like recognize those. But like there wasn't anything like if I'd never watched them, I would be totally fine with that. Like it's strange. Like I was just like, huh, I don't think these kinds of movies interest me anymore.
Yeah,
like,
it's understandable.
Spy sort of ones. Like
at a certain point, I think a lot of people end up kind of outgrowing stuff like that just because at a certain point you end up looking at life and thinking that this, the more interesting things in everyday life are way more interesting than the crazy stuff that people can put on film. And so when something ends up showing that really well, I feel like that's the kind of universal thing that a lot of people give credit just straight down the line. But yeah, it is kind of sad. I feel bad for you.
Yeah. It's like, I definitely like want to stress like I by no means think these were like bad movies by any means because man, you go on the internet if you say anything sort of negative, it's like a cesspool for just everything. It's like I like
sometimes
if
you say
try.
Anything positive about something,
it's true. I mean, I like to try. We like to try and keep Robots Attack a positive kind of show. Still like.
Right.
You know, if we
at minimum the neutral zone.
Yeah, if you know we didn't enjoy something, we try and explain why, but not like turn it into this giant like hate fest of
right.
You're
not allowed
garbage.
To like it.
Yeah, kind of thing. So yeah, but
yeah.
I just with Spectre, it was strange. Just Casino Royale and book kind of bookending on Spectre. How far it's come, like, and how it hasn't, like, it's sort of circled back. Like, it was just so weird. It's like, wow, they have, like, okay, here's Bond with the girl, and then, oh, here's Bond with the cheesy bad guy, and, like, it's all this stuff. It's just like, wow, these are, like.
Who was the bad guy in this one? Is it a big name at all, or not really?
Oh, you mean the actor?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Christoph Waltz.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He does bad pretty good.
Yeah. And, like, I would say it's, I mean, I guess, I don't know if you don't remember any of the controversy of, like, oh, he's playing this. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Oh, he's playing this. Oh, no, I'm okay. Not. No, I'm not. It's,
and then
it reminds you, it reminded me of the Star Trek Into Darkness
Okay. Whole
thing of, like,
yeah, that never works out well.
Yeah, it's like, dude,
why do people even try?
Yeah, just.
Oh, well.
Oh, and I will say, like, the bad guy, like, you'll just know, like, oh, that guy's a bad guy.
Okay.
Yep, I was right. And that was, like, pretty early into the film. So, yeah, it was just,
okay.
It was just weird. Like, I don't know.
I gotcha, I think.
They did a little better job in Skyfall as far as, I feel bad as I don't remember the actress's name.
Okay.
But she ended up, you know,
right.
And yeah. I was like, oh, why did
started
you?
Some controversy on its own also.
Yeah. I was like, oh no, you know, that, what a waste. Why did you kill her? This one, like, totally a waste of, Monica Bellucci.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't,
that's
like,
too bad.
It was just weird. It was like, why are you in this? Like, I mean, I'm glad you're here. I think you're cool, but it was another Bond trope.
That's too bad. Yeah. The one thing that I'd heard leading up to the movie before the blackout, as far as in my corner of the world, there was a lot of disappointment with Skyfall, and people were wondering if that was, if it was the direction that the rest of the movies were going to go with James Bond. And mostly as far as how it kind of trivializes, like, female roles and doesn't necessarily do, like, great things with them and so on. So it sounds like, unfortunately, it kind of went that direction, or.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay. It's like I said,
it's a Bond.
It's
movie.
Become a James Bond movie, okay. Which is like
that is
some
classic
people.
For
yeah,
it.
Some people are. Hey, if maybe that's like, all right, that's what I wanted. You know, I wanted them to get to that. Others may be like, oh, I wanted them to get away from that.
And yeah, it makes me wonder. Since Daniel Craig had multiple little outbursts about the movie. I've heard him talk about the movie more than I've heard about any critics talk about
it.
But yeah, I've heard him say that I'm like done with James Bond. And I would rather have nothing to do with him. It does make me wonder if that's part of it. Because I know he actually has taken pretty firm stances outside of movies as far as how he wants women to be represented and so on. So it'd be interesting to know exactly how that all ended up hashing out and if that might be part of the reason why there's some question over whether he's going to do another one or not. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I will say it's kind of neat. You know, they still sort of follow, like, all of the Craig movies, like, all do tie in together, you know.
Okay.
It's still that story about
does make
Spectre
sense.
You know, this shadow group behind and that sort of thing, so that's okay. Kind of neat, like, since that's not super common with the Bond films. I mean, there's you know, like, some reoccurring, like, villains, but generally, like, the stories don't super tie, you know, not.
Yeah, for me personally, I think what I liked best about Casino Royale and Skyfall is that it was kind of untrod territory for James Bond. And I think it's interesting because effectively they had to kind of explore the very beginning of Bond and jump all the way to the very end of Bond and then change their mind at the end.
Yeah.
In order to get those things. But but yeah, I liked that it investigated kind of where Bond came from in both of those movies, and what it's like to kind of ramp up into becoming this mythological character.
No.
That nobody knows whether it's just repeated, like, there's 47 different 007s. What are you talking about? But yeah, that's the most interesting part to me, is seeing a little bit different light shown on that character. And so, yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about seeing Spectre now if it's the same old spotlight that's always been on it. But no. I'll probably check it out eventually.
Yeah, you might as well. If you've watched the other Craig ones.
One thing I have seen is that it has, like, a Day of the Dead stuff in it, and I'm a sucker for that. So
yeah, that's at the beginning.
Okay. I'm probably going to like that, at least. One of my favorite parts in the new Superman movie, also. Okay. I did have one other thing that I ended up catching that I really thought was interesting. Out of the blue, I got a message from a friend of ours in Australia. Just about, and the nice thing about knowing somebody in Australia, especially who's into the same things that we are, is that they end up kind of getting the first shot at anime compared to most of us, because right there.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I got a warning that I needed to be looking out for Kenbari of the Iron Fortress. And I was a little bit hesitant because I was thinking, okay, well, this guy just saw it, and so that means I'll probably have to wait a month or whatever for it to show up. But, you know, I mean, Crunchyroll is getting really fast with stuff like that, so maybe it'll be same day. So first thing I do is look for it on Crunchyroll, and couldn't find it.
That's too bad.
And so I look up on the plain old internet about it, and it turns out Amazon snapped it up.
Oh, okay.
And is actually simulcasting it, which I didn't know that they even did. But apparently, it made me wonder, too, because there was another article that was similar to it, that Netflix has started doing the same thing. They're snapping up animes, and they're showing them episode by episode now, instead of, like, just bam, the entire run. And so, yeah, I don't know if that's kind of the wave of the future as far as how these companies are going to work, that they're going to end up being more in the realm of Crunchyroll, and what that means for Crunchyroll.
Because you figure that sort of the power and the clout behind, like, a Netflix or an Amazon, like, being able to go, you know, hey, we'll, you know, simulcast your series, that sort of thing. I mean, I guess one element, at least from what I've heard of about, like, Crunchyroll, they try to stress, like, the, you know, the money going back to the studio and that sort of thing, like, making sure, like, they want to build a good relationship with where they get the anime from, stuff like that. So I wonder if, I mean, like, it seems like, I wonder if Netflix and Amazon, you know, will be able
invest as
to
heavily
do that.
In that. It'll be interesting to see, and maybe it'll, like, all fall apart very quickly. I don't know.
It is pretty crazy, though, seeing, like, how much... I remember before, like, the Netflix, like, streaming, you'd look through their anime and it was, like, maybe three or four things, you know? And it was, like, an occasional movie here and there. And now it's, like, holy crap.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. And really high-quality stuff, too. But it is interesting, too. Like, it's all over the place. All of the different video services have their own kind of, like, niches of those genres,
yeah,
too. So, yeah, I was really caught off guard. Made me happy that I had Amazon to be able to watch this. And basically, it's... there's going to be a lot of people who are angry about this because it could possibly mean that it's distracting from other things. It's the people who do Attack on Titan. And it's their next series. And so it's what they're currently doing right now is this.
So
there's plenty of people that I saw online that are like, why are they doing this when they need to be making my Attack on Titan? And it's like, okay, I can understand that. But this is a really interesting take, too. Like, Attack on Titan, it arguably is... is trying to twist the American zombie movie genre into something like completely weird and different. Mm. We'll make the zombies giant and yeah. we'll only film them during the day. And we'll see if we can make that as creepy as possible. And they did it.
Yeah.
It was really good. And we'll add a little bit of steampunk to it, even though it's like oddly German Middle Age times, from best we can tell. But they did that really well, too.
Yeah.
So this one is sort of the same thing. It's another twist on zombies, but I think it's really cool. It's like Shogun times, except with zombies and steampunk all mixed together.
Okay.
And the twist on the zombies this time is that they're super tough. They're like normal things, but instead of the thing being that it's already dead and you have a hard time killing it because it's already dead.
Oh.
It's that they're really actually tough.
Oh, okay.
And so trying to stop it, it's not just necessarily removing enough body parts or whatever. It's literally that this thing, it has something about it makes its, whenever a zombie becomes a zombie, it gets a layer of like energy and tough stuff that builds around the heart.
Oh, okay.
And so the main character is somebody who's trying to come up with a good way to take care of these things. And so what I think is neat about it, and kind of brings me into another realm that makes me very happy, is that it's kind of pushing you back into like Dead Space territory.
Okay.
Because like in Dead Space, you have an engineer guy that's kind of stuck in this bad situation. So the different tools that he's used to in his career end up being what ends up being useful for dismantling these zombies. And so it's sort of the same thing in this. It's this kid trying to figure out how to make, since it's steampunk, how to make a steam riveter into a really good weapon for taking these things out. And so it looks pretty interesting so far.
Oh,
and
okay.
The man, it's just like Attack on Titan from one angle, is that the art is crazy. Like, just absolutely perfectly detailed. With all of the German-themed stuff, there's a simplicity to the clothing and the simplicity to a lot of the setting that ends up making it so they probably could crank through it a lot faster. This one ends up just crazy because all of these zombies, because of the way that they're formed, they have like ripples of energy through all of their limbs.
Oh, okay.
That I can't even imagine trying to animate them because it's like they have giant veins that are glowing all over the place. And on top of that, like adding all of the Japanese like Shogunate era style of clothing, you end up with floral patterns and all of this other crazy stuff that I, again, don't have any idea how they managed to animate it in any reasonable time at all.
Yeah.
But it's really beautiful. So yeah, the other side of it too is it seems like a lot of it ends up happening at night, so it ends up kind of weighing the opposite direction of the Attack on Titan. I think a lot of that is just so that it shows off the glowy bits of the zombies a little bit better.
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
But yeah, it's really interesting having like samurai times except with all of this steam equipment. Like the towns end up looking somewhere in between, like if Princess Mononoke meets Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, okay.
Because there's massive pipes like all over the place and everything. It's really interesting. I'm really looking forward to it. The first episode definitely got me hooked pretty good.
So and you said it's the whole thing isn't.
No, they're showing it episode by episode on Amazon. I've never seen anything like it, so it'll be interesting to see. It looks like it's basically Thursdays or Fridays that it comes out, at least in original time zone. So it doesn't seem like it's that far behind on Amazon. So I don't know if it's outright simulcast, but it's close.
Well, speaking of things that are nothing like anything else,
okay,
you're listening to Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara.
That's right. We are unique.
That's right.
We are AI. Sort of.
Sort of.
We're better than AI.
Yes.
Much.
So much better. All right. I think that's a good time to take a music break and then we'll...
yes. We'll, awkwardly walk away.
Yeah. And we'll come back and discuss the second episode in the watch party.
Right. Of Daredevil Season 2, Episode 2.
All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack right after this music break.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. We are now going to jump into our watch party. If you're unfamiliar with our watch party, we pick a show, or we haven't done any movies yet, but so far we've just done shows. And this watch party, we are doing the second season of Daredevil. We talked about episode 1 last week.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to talk about episode 2.
Yeah. Full spoilers,
full
just
spoilers,
to warn you.
Because that's the point of the watch party, is you watch the episode with us, quote unquote, you
right.
know, and then we discuss it with us, you know, by tweeting at us, Robots Attack Me, or, you know, posting a comment on Facebook and Robots Attack, or, you know, even the old email, ye old email.
Yar old email.
RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Or even posting a comment on a picture on our Instagram page.
Oh, yeah.
On Robots Attack. I mean, that could even
however you want to do it.
However you want. Those are ways to do it. But yes. And even you're like, oh, no, I'm, you know, like, it's too late. They're already on episode 2.
It's never too late.
Never too late.
Don't think that.
You can jump right in, because next week we're going to discuss episode 3. So, you know, you can listen here now and then jump in with us with episode 3. So, episode 2.
I did not expect it to go any way at all like it did. And I don't know why. It makes complete and total sense that they'd have to spend an episode with him recovering from a headshot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
but yeah, for some reason I was expecting him to superhero it and just shrug it off. But I sort of respect it more, but it did throw a speed bump in it at the same time. So
yeah, I would say it was an interesting speed bump, though, just because like it made you think now, like, okay, he's blind, and now if he like can't hear anything.
Oh yeah,
like, can you imagine?
I can't even imagine.
They did a really that scene where he's like. You could see it in his eyes of he's realizing that, like,
really well acted.
Wait, yeah, I can't hear anything. Like, I can't, and then he's
that's
like
my
tries
thing.
Yeah, he's like he tries to yell and speak and he can't hear himself, and he's just like he cowers against the wall, like just totally afraid. Like,
it would be funny if they made a character eventually where it's like one layer farther than him, and it's just smell-o-vision. Because I don't think he lost his sense of smell. He was having nosebleeds, so maybe he could only smell the blood in his nose. So.
It's true.
But there were a bunch of little details that I really liked in this episode. Like when he goes to the guy that created the suit in the first place.
Yeah.
I didn't think that I was going to like that guy, but I'm liking him more every single time just because he's a different mechanic than we've ever had before, it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, all of the other mechanics have been, like, either have limitless amounts of budget because they're under the employment of somebody super rich, or... are just incredibly smart from whatever reason, or have some sort of supernatural ability to make things. And this guy is just like a fairly smart guy who's pretty good at making stuff.
Yeah.
And that's it. I kind of like that.
Yeah, he's, and you know, it's like you can tell he's got some quirks to him.
Oh, yeah.
But, to go along with kind of what you said, it's not like he's this typical like nerd character,
right.
Engineer. Oh, I can do this.
Right.
Or the complete flip where it's like the dude jock bro like yeah. mechanic, you know?
I mean,
like,
if you just looked at him, you'd assume that he would be, but you can kind of see how he would have ended up in the place that he was in the first series, the longer that you get to know him, because yeah, he might look like one of the Jock Bro kind of guys, but you can kind of see how that might have been something that he kind of adapted into in order to feel like he could survive better in with the group of people that he was working with. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it there's questions about how that character was formed that end up kind of interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like too when he's looking at the, you know, the helmet, unquote, and uh-huh. he's like, yeah, this is like a super precision shot. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, a little bit to the right or left, and like you'd be dead. Like uh-huh. this, and that kind of emphasize again, like about the Punisher, like, and it kind of makes you think, like, did he purposely, like, shoot right. him right there, you know, like, or, you know, was it
that much luck,
or was it, you yeah. know, like, was he like, I don't want to kill you, but this will definitely, you know.
It almost, it feels almost, well, and they even had a line for it, I thought. Maybe I'm not remembering right, because it may have been in the first episode, not in this one. But didn't they have kind of a throwaway line about, like, what are you, a Deadshot or something like that?
I don't remember.
Anyway, it made me wonder if there was going to be shades of... is it Deadshot? What's the name of the actual character from Daredevil that is like the sharpshooter character? He was in the original movie.
Bullseye. That guy?
It makes me wonder if they're going to have shades of Bullseye kind of incorporated into the Punisher or not. Mm. Or at least have some explanation that ends up being pushed farther towards that character for next season.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But
it's cool. It's making you think. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's cool how I'm really liking so far how they're handling the Punisher, especially just like...
Yeah.
He had some more lines of dialogue a little bit in this one, but not a whole lot. But man, like... I loved that shot when he just steps into the light and his face is like, there's blood, like lines on his face after he shot up that that biker gang, like in the when they're working on the truck.
Uh-huh.
The guy's like, you know, has the headphones on, he can't hear, and then suddenly he's spraying off the blood and then blood splatters on there and just walks in. I was like, oh man, it's just, they've done such a cool job of making this guy who...
pretty intimidating.
Yeah, and just
well, like, they've treated him like Jaws.
Yeah,
it feels like not from James Bond.
But yeah, circular.
Right. Yeah, yeah. He's the scary monster, and they are really conservative about where they show him, and they really pick those shots nicely, and make the fights count for something. It's been really neat.
Yeah. Yeah, because they could have gone, like, just full-blown, you know, if you look at some of the other Punisher movies. I mean, obviously, like, those, he's the main character, so you're going to have more screen time on him.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. So,
yeah, it is interesting seeing him as a side character, too. It does give a unique opportunity for a different perspective that I'm enjoying a lot.
Yeah, you get that feeling of being kind of like on the other side, like the, you know, instead of riding with him, you know, in his movies, mm-hmm. you're like kind of feeling, you know, like how maybe one of his targets would feel.
Yeah,
you know, like a being chased after and being targeted, and man, when he goes to that pawn shop, you know, gets that stuff, and then when he's walking away, and that man. Guy just like, oh man, you just said the wrong thing. And it was cool.
That was good. That was really good.
They didn't like. They just show him grab the bat and then just walk towards the camera.
Right.
And then
yeah. And then just you can connect the dots at that point.
Yeah.
You don't need to know much more.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm. Man. I hope. I really hope the series, like this, the way they've doled out the stuff and just everything, like, I hope they're able to keep it rolling.
So far, I'm liking this one way better than the first one. And I didn't have any, like, huge problems with the first one.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed it, but this one's a lot better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it has that fortune of, like, okay, we've established Daredevil, mm-hmm, and, like, kind of his world, so you don't really need to...
Without ever having, like, a concrete origin story, too, which was kind of nice.
Yeah, they would just kind of show little glimpses,
yeah,
here and there, and you get kind of the idea of him, mm-hmm, you know, stuff like that, but...
Without it being, like, spelled out, this is why he can do this.
Yeah. Which makes me curious how they'll handle the Punisher when it gets to that point.
Like, that's what I'm wondering too, is if the Punisher is just going to be outright, he can do this, because that's his superpower, sort of, is that he's just really good at killing people. I have no idea. I still kind of wonder if it's going to be some sort of thing, like, related to the drugs that we saw in Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
But who knows? There's a lot of different directions that they can go.
Yeah. Yeah, and I will say, sort of going back to the kind of speed bump thing, there,
mm-hmm,
not a whole lot really, if memory serves, like, not a whole lot happens in this one as far as, like, moving this story forward. They do a little bit more with the criminal who wants to seek witness protection.
Yeah.
You know,
and it lets Foggy shine pretty well, too. I'm liking Foggy, like, more and more every episode.
Yeah, that's true. He does, because Matt's kind of out.
Sideline.
Yeah, yeah. You get a little more Foggy and a little more Karen.
You know? Yeah.
I
feel bad. I should know her name, but yeah.
But yeah, it is.
And there's more stuff exploring her character about, like, well, maybe we created this problem and so on, when she's talking to,
oh yeah,
to Murdoch about the Punisher, and of course she doesn't know who
that
he is or whatnot.
That he's Daredevil,
but but for her on the personal side, and that since she took the law in her own hands, she's internalizing a lot of this herself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's really interesting, too. It's making the character more interesting to me.
Yeah, instead of, because they could have easily have just stuck with her, like, breaking down and, you know, like,
yeah,
cheesy, just like, oh, I shot that guy and now I can't, you know, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it is.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting line that they have to tread now, that they've done well so far, that having a character that did such a serious thing, that is so broken from the ideals of of Matt Murdock.
Oh.
Well, I guess arguably between the first season and second season, but
yeah.
But yeah, it's been a really interesting journey seeing how these characters have come together and where they get their values and how they question them.
And you get, like, a taste too, a little bit of from the one officer that Foggy goes through to get information,
right,
of even where the cops kind of stand with the Punisher. You know, some,
yeah,
are like, hey, this guy's making our jobs a lot easier.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, this guy's a nut. It's a common thing that's in Batman and all,
uh-huh,
that sort of stuff, but, you know, I think it's still a good to establish, you know, kind of, and it's a nice...
Well, yeah, but again, the defining difference, and something that I've always thought was interesting about Punisher as a character is because he's very polarizing for a lot of comic book fans, too. Like, there's a lot of comic book fans that see that character as, like, I don't understand why people like him. He's a murderer.
Uh-huh.
It's like he has no values at all. He's just bad. And it's like, well, yeah, he's bad for interesting reasons, questionably.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's interesting seeing kind of that conversation being fleshed out with the different conversations that the characters are having too.
Yeah.
It ends up sort of being like a comic book shop.
Like yeah. People discussion.
Right. It's just somebody running around and putting like police officer hats on the people in the comic shop in order to make it into a new scene or something like that.
I'll be curious too, like the way how the, you know, the episode ends, like his concussion or, you know, whatever sort of kicks back in again when mm-hmm. they're circling each
Not
other.
Not good timing. Yeah.
Yeah. And like what the Punisher, like he's, you know, you could tell he's realizing like, hey, something's off with this guy. Like,
right.
Is he like, what sort of stuff is he catching on? Like, is he catching on to the fact that this guy may be blind, or is he catching, you know, like what sort of stuff, just because how they've established the Punisher of being so tactical, so impressive, like maybe that is something he would spot.
How much has he figured out already? And yeah, it made me wonder too, like how much he's kind of figured out just by filling in the lines between like when they've sort of halfway crossed paths.
Uh-huh.
'Cause who knows how much more investigation the Punisher ends up doing on like the post scene after he's committed the crimes too.
Yeah.
And
it makes you think too, of, I mean, you know, with these episodes, like he, at least for me, it doesn't seem like when they fought, I mean, mm-hmm. I know it doesn't seem like he wants to kill like Daredevil. Like, I mean, you know, so you could argue he did
that
shoot
first
him in
episode.
The head.
That first episode, it was questionable, and it seems like we got our answer when it seems like we possibly got our answer when we got the armorer guy, like with the like, man, just anywhere else but this spot, he'd be done for.
Yeah, it's, it makes you think, like, because.
But the other side of that is he did choose to shoot him in the head, so I don't know. But yeah, who knows if that was just meant to drive us even farther towards questioning it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it makes you wonder like, well, does if the Punisher knows, you know, knows about Daredevil, like, mm-hmm. is he someone like, does he respect him, you know, still like, even like, cause you know, he may not be going the same lines of just straight up killing everyone. But,
yeah.
You know, he's still taking on criminals and that sort of thing. So it's like, does he still kind of respect him? And that's why, like, he doesn't want.
If they're following the traditional Marvel character, I'm guessing he probably does. But yeah, who knows where they're going to go with this one? Because yeah, it's like we mentioned before in when we did the breakdown of the characters for this, or for Punisher and Elektra, when Caleb talked over it, is that in Civil War, the Punisher was one of the more interesting characters just because he ends up showing that, you know, I have my way of doing things, but honestly, I know that you guys are the heroes. and respect certain people like more and less because of it, because of how they conduct themselves, because he knows that that's tough. And so, yeah, I don't know if they're building that right now, or if we're seeing kind of the remnants of him trying to deal with how he should deal with this character.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of interesting questions that hopefully the rest of the series, the next episodes will address well.
Fun stuff.
But yeah, I think that will do it for this week's discussion of watch party of episode 2.
Yeah, I'm done.
So.
I'm winded.
I look forward to watching episode 3 and discussing it with you.
Oh, yeah.
With you all. But yeah, again, it's never too late. Join us at the watch party. Give us your thoughts on the episode, the current episode we're discussing.
Yeah.
Because you know, we're watching them episode by episode, but, you know, and not like jumping ahead or anything like that. So it doesn't taint any of our views or anything like
right.
that. So, you know, we can have the discussions and not like, well, in, you know, episode 7, he turns this. So clearly that's why, you
right.
know. We save that for at the end, then we go back and kind of discuss the whole series and our thoughts and that sort of stuff when we're all done. But yeah, before we take another music break, If you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. All right. As I mentioned, we'll take a music break and then we'll come back with some news.
Perfect.
Would you, do you want to tease them some news maybe?
Oh, yeah. I thought this was pretty interesting that Charlize Theron is getting back behind the wheel in a major motion picture.
Ooh, yeah. Interesting.
I thought it was. I thought it was. I'll be straight up with you.
Hopefully it's Aeon Flux 2 we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Back behind the wheel. Because yeah. That's what that character is all about.
Oh, yeah.
Just that hard driving.
Yeah, so much driving in that cartoon right. movie show. All right. Let's take that music break. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. We're in the news portion of the show. Let's news them.
Okay. We'll give it a shot. Charlize Theron, of course, fresh off of, well, maybe not fresh off of, but garnered a lot of goodwill and good awards off of her role in Mad Max Fury Road. Well-deserved, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of people have been kind of hungry to see her back behind the wheel again in hopefully another similar movie. I don't know how similar this one is going to be to it, but she is definitely back behind the wheel again in the next Fast and Furious movie, Fast and Furious 8. It's going to be interesting to see for a variety of reasons because we have a whole new director that has completely different skill set, in my opinion, than any of the previous directors.
Oh, okay.
And it sounds like they're going to set her, well, I guess this is a quote from her, that she's going to be some sort of villain.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that ought to be pretty interesting. The other thing that just popped up today was that Clint Eastwood's son is apparently going to be in it also.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's getting a lot of star power from interesting directions. I personally haven't seen anything that Eastwood has been in, so I don't know what to expect. I know he's going to be in Suicide Squad, so...
Oh, okay.
I don't know how big of a role that is,
but
I'm looking forward to seeing that. I know he got into a movie that got some pretty good reviews that I need to research more about.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he ends up like full on following in his father's footsteps as like action hero or not.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing that comes to mind is I think flipping through various movie stations and stuff, some rodeo movie I think he was in or something.
Oh, okay. I thought he was in some sort of Western, so maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I don't know. But yeah, it's definitely going to be a different shade of Fast and Furious with kind of the directions and characters that they're going. They're still going to have a whole bunch of the original characters. They're still going to have Vin Diesel and... it's funny, I thought this had all of the cast on it last time I looked, but maybe I'm thinking of the one with Eastwood.
Mm.
But yeah, most of the main characters are coming back.
Makes sense. Well, if you were hoping for the Gambit movie to drop in the fall this year...
yes, no?
It's not.
Okay.
It's getting pushed to 2017. It will start production later this year, But yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, according to this article, even with the overwhelming success of Deadpool, Fox is in no hurry to start production on its next superhero, Gambit. Still, as far as we all know, starring Channing Tatum and being helmed by Doug Liman.
It was supposed to be
released this fall, but the studio has yet to begin production. They're looking to start production, like I said, later this year to get it into 2017. This isn't the first time the production of the movie has been pushed back, and it's not the first problem to arise either. It took Tatum years to get the green light for the project, but the film suffered its first setback when director Rupert Wyatt quit after citing creative differences. Actress Leah Sadow, who originally signed on as the female lead when Wyatt was involved, has also distanced herself from the project. You know, it sounds like there's been some reports even with the script and all that stuff. So who knows? Maybe be a little bit because of such the big success with Deadpool, they really want to like
get it nailed down just perfect.
Just like,
it's funny that you mentioned that because like I keep trying to imagine Channing Tatum as Gambit, especially opposite other characters. And to me, like you mentioning Deadpool, having Channing Tatum's Gambit versus like Colossus, especially. I'm trying to imagine those two, since he's a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
He's not exactly like as tall as Colossus, but he doesn't look small next to Colossus.
No.
It's going to be an interesting combo if we ever get around to that.
Yeah, hopefully.
Anyway, more news from the comic book universe. Actually, same Marvel universe. This one thoroughly caught me off guard. I was not expecting this from all sorts of angles. So there is going to be a Cloak and Dagger television series.
Okay.
I don't know how many people are really familiar with Cloak and Dagger, but they caused some problems when they were initially released because the original idea for the characters was that they were subjected to medical treatments by drugs that were an altered version of heroin, I believe, that ended up causing mutations in both of them. So they are mutants, but they were scientifically induced mutants. But the drugs part, especially why they decided to make it heroin of all things.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, wait, why? And so it caused a bunch of problems with parents way back when these characters were initially created, which ends up making it super interesting for where it's showing up. It's showing up on Freeform Channel. I didn't even know Freeform Channel was a thing, but apparently it's the new name for ABC Family.
Huh.
So yeah, I'm trying to imagine these characters with that background showing up on the most family friendly of Disney's television properties. It's going to be really interesting to see how they craft these characters. But it's not completely unprecedented. That channel has already ended up with a slew of different superhero shows that I haven't investigated much personally. They haven't taken place in the Marvel universe as far as I know, but they apparently are doing relatively well.
And oh, okay.
So I can imagine them wanting to invest in their Marvel side a little bit more and pull these characters through. They're interesting characters, especially considering how they function together, since if you're not familiar with them, Cloak, his character basically taps into void energy, for lack of a better word. I think they have an actual name for it that fits with the Marvel universe, and I apologize to the super fans out there.
Are yelling at you right now.
Right. But effectively what it allows him to do is to do teleportation jumps through the shadows that he can create at will by this cloak that's kind of permanently attached to him.
Mm.
And the other side of it is Dagger, and her powers are based on focused light that they end up being daggers that she can throw.
Oh, okay.
And so between the two of them, they end up being a pretty interesting team just because they can teleport all over the place and do whatever attacks with really good efficiency and a lot of strength. But again, since they're teenage characters also, or at least initially were, it's going to be interesting to see that also, how they end up forging their teamwork and whatnot. If they always knew each other in this incarnation, I have no idea.
Yeah.
The problem that I always ended up having with the artwork in the original series was they always ended up looking like they were 30 somethings, even though they were supposed to be teenagers. So
that was whatever that drug was.
Oh, right. Them... Yeah. It gave them other things.
Well, my next story doesn't have anything to do with Cloak and Dagger per se.
Okay.
But
I'll listen anyway.
It involves cursed tablets discovered in 2,400-year-old grave.
Okay.
5 lead tablets that cursed tavern keepers some 2,400 years ago have been discovered in a young woman's grave in Athens, Greece.
Huh.
4 of the tablets were engraved with curses that invoke the names of underworld gods, asking them to target 4 different husband and wife tavern keepers in Athens.
Huh.
The 5th tablet was blank and likely had a spell or incantation recited orally, the words, you know, spoken over it. All 5 tablets were pierced with an iron nail, folded and deposited in the grave. The grave would have provided the tablets a path to such gods who would then do the curses biddings according to ancient beliefs. But yeah, it's just it's like they have, like, the story goes into, you know, like, one of the curses targeted a husband and wife tavern keepers named Dementrios and Pythagora. The curse targeting them reads, in part translated from Greek, "Cast your hate upon Pythagora and Dementrios and their tavern and their property and their possessions. I will bind my enemy Dementrios and Pythagora in blood and in ashes with all the dead."
And it brings up so many interesting questions. It's like, if you could go back in time and see the person that did this, is it somebody who is genuinely feared, like, back then? It's like, yeah. Oh, crud, I don't want that person to curse me. Or is it just like, you know what? Fine, dude.
Yeah.
You cursed half the people in this town already.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Are these,
do you need anything from me? I want to help you out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, are these tablets the sort of the equivalent of someone ranting on Twitter, like, I curse
right.
you. Yeah. I hate you for this. I went to this tavern and it did not serve me the beer properly chilled the right. way I like it. Or this.
I curse you, Zack Snyder.
That's it. These were Yelp reviews. Yelp reviews. There we go. They didn't like the service at these taverns, so I curse you.
That's pretty good.
We go. Ancient Greek Yelp.
If only Yelp reviews would last that long.
Gotta etch them on lead tablets, I guess, and put them in graves.
Somebody's doing it. I guarantee you somebody someplace
special
is doing
edition.
All of their Yelp reviews. In stone or something.
Yeah. By the time they
I
get
I want to
it
make
all.
Sure these last.
Yeah. So, what? That store closed down? Man, you know how long it took me to just sketch this, like, first sentence into this thing? I had to get it properly. Like, ah. Now, how will they know about my hate for this store? It's closed down. Anyway.
Oh, man.
So.
Yes.
Go ahead. Do your last story to wrap us up.
Okay, well, I'm tempted. There's a couple directions I can go. I can do my last story, or I can talk about a Yelp review that I actually wrote that I still feel, like, halfway dirty for doing it, but I feel justified at the same time. Yeah, that's enough information by that. But okay, I'll go with this last one just because I thought it was kind of interesting. I'll
you could post a link to your Yelp review on our Facebook page.
Ooh, that's
like.
Good. That's good.
You tease them.
We'll leave that. We'll have that as a post to your post about.
Yeah.
Unrelated. Here's Jason's thoughts of this pizza place. Okay. There's a pretty interesting little invention. Well, not little by any choice of words, or shouldn't be, but I chose those words, so I guess there are. In Germany, there's a company that's creating something called the Volocopter.
Okay.
I've never seen anything quite like this. There's been thoughts about trying to create something kind of similar to it that... Everybody's kind of looking at drones because they're the next big thing.
Yeah.
And everybody's looking at, oh, wow, that's more rotors than the last one. And so I've seen people talking about doing taxi services where it's a drone that you can just have it big enough that it can transport people. But sort of the problem with that up until now has been that it kind of nullifies some of the benefits of drones.
Mm.
And one of them is that there are a possible clean and efficient way of going into the future without relying on fossil fuels.
Mm.
And so this, interesting enough, gets around that in a different way than I would have thought possible. It is meant to be both a normal aircraft and possibly a taxi service drone, but its trick is that it uses a ton of rotors on electricity.
Oh, okay.
So it uses 18 different Whoa. Rotors. It literally looks like tree branches that sprout out from this thing and then form a ring around it.
Oh, okay.
So at first glance, it looks like a helicopter where the rotors are just like frozen in place until you see all the little rotors like spinning on it. But what it allows it to do is with the crazy electric motors that we have these days, you can generate enough lift without all of the weight of the really heavy rotors that you'd need in order to do like a single rotor, three or four rotors.
Oh, okay.
And so it apparently makes it so it's energy efficient enough that you can have it be an electric device.
Huh.
And I'd assume it still chews through electricity like crazy because any sort of helicopter-like invention is going to chew through energy very quickly.
Yeah.
But it apparently does it well enough that they're thinking about using it as an air taxi service.
Huh.
Has a top speed of about 62 miles per hour. And yeah, I hope this ends up becoming a thing. Right now, the only thing that ends up being a little bit problematic with it is that even though it has this big encased circle, it still has rotors sticking out from the sides.
Oh.
So it still ends up causing the classic problem that you have with helicopters is that you don't want to clip into anything
yeah.
at all. So it's definitely not in territory where you can just hand it off to new pilots. It's still firmly a difficult to fly helicopter. But yeah, I can just imagine not needing too much more work on it and it being a fairly easy device to not have to worry about running into anything.
Yeah.
One of the big selling points right now too, it sounds like, is that it's incredibly stable.
Like, oh, okay.
You can take your hand off of the joystick, apparently, and it's just like being on the ground.
Huh.
And it makes sense. If you have that many rotors that are all pushing air independently, you end up being much less affected by individual currents trying to get through, like, a single rotor. So, it's really interesting and crazy looking in a lot of different ways. I've never seen anything like it.
It's a good, sounds like it's a good first step.
Oh yeah.
I'm glad.
It just looks really, really dorky right now. Is what it comes down to.
Yeah, a lot of those first steps are kind of dorky looking on some stuff, and then
until we get used to them. Yeah.
And then we figure out, like, okay, we figured out how to do this, and now we can make it sexy.
Oh yeah.
Or at least attempt to make it sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of sexy things, I'll wrap us up with this day in history.
Like the mummies we are.
Yes.
Is the first thing about mummies?
No.
Oh, okay. That would have been cool, though.
I know. It would have been. But the first thing is, in 1814, Napoleon was exiled to the island of Elba.
Okay. Well, he spent some time in Egypt, so mummies. And there you go.
Okay, all right. There
he,
we,
like, shot the
right.
nose off the Sphinx, there according we go. To legend.
We did it. Then in 1899, we're going to party like it's 1899.
Okay,
the treaty ending the Spanish-American War took effect.
Okay, okay. That sounds important.
Mm.
Man, I could go either way on it.
Yeah. Then in 1921, Iowa imposed the first state cigarette tax.
Okay, okay.
Well, 1921. Huh. In 1945, Allies liberated Buchenwald concentration camp. I remember on a couple
this
shows before,
it's probably
they were
gonna
liberating.
Be interesting. We're probably going to get a few weeks of different liberations.
Liberations and stuff. Then in 1951, President Harry Truman fired. You fired General Douglas MacArthur. You fired. That's, you need that sound clip from Donald Trump, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cause
that's
be
one
so
thing
great.
We definitely need is more Donald sure. Trump on this
oh,
show.
Oh, yes.
Just slather it on.
Slather it so much. Like in 1968, President Lyndon B. Johnson signed the 1968 Civil Rights Act. There we go.
Okay, that's right. Firmly in Trump's camp.
Let's slather that on. That's, right. That's good stuff. Then in 1979, Ugandan dictator... sorry, dude. Idi Amin was overthrown.
Okay. Well, he probably wasn't that kind of guy.
Yeah,
so
maybe butchering his name was
right.
Was a good thing.
Yeah. Probably goes several different directions with the word butcher.
Yeah.
On that.
then we'll go a couple of years later when we get to 1981. President Ronald Reagan returned to the White House after he was shot in an assassination attempt.
Wow.
Then we jump to the 2000s. 2007, science fiction writer Kurt Vonnegut died in New York City at age 84.
Aww.
An interesting way to button up the show. A science fiction writer. But there you have it. That's this week's Robots Attack. We want to thank you for listening. Hopefully it was still enjoyable enough with just the dynamic duo. And
we tried our best.
We tried. It's hard to fill... The shoes of Caleb.
They are gigantic.
It's huge. Huge, man. Massive shoes.
Small person, giant shoes.
Giant shoes.
Yes.
Clown size, just
I shouldn't
huge.
Say small person. He's not like a little person.
No.
Yeah.
Just compared to...
Yeah, I'm larger. So. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, yes.
We digress.
Yeah. We want to thank you for listening. We'll be back next Monday from 7 to 9 that... And remember, it's not too late to join us on that watch party. We're going to discuss episode 3 of Daredevil. And of course, you know, even though the show is over with, you can still catch up on previous shows. We take the show and turn it into podcasts, so you can catch up on episodes on iTunes, all that stuff. Or if you go to robotsattack.me, our website, you can catch all the episodes there.
Hmm.
And yeah.
That's where I'd go, personally.
Yeah, that's probably best, because then even there you can get links to other all of our other pages and interact with us and all that stuff.
You can look up what we were talking about earlier about something that I've already forgotten what it was.
Yep. All that stuff and more. And, you know, our recently created Instagram account, we posted a bunch of pictures from the Silicon Valley Comic Con. So you can check out some images from there. You know,
mm-hmm.
Happened a little while back, but still some cool stuff to check out.
And, oh, yeah.
But yeah. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful rest of your week and weekend, and we'll catch you next week. Take it easy, everyone. You are listening to KSCU Santa Clara. Take it easy.
Later.
Raccoon. Barada. Mixto.